the atmosphere in a worship set is going to be created by four things, two of which you have control over, the other two you have no control over. All right? First, the song profile. You do have control over that because you choose it. The congregational response, you have no control over that, generally speaking. The Holy Spirit's activity, you are not in control of that, hopefully. But the other thing is declaration, and you are in control of that. Now, Sophie, you alluded, I think it was Sophie or Kim alluded to that, I think you did earlier on, when you talked about describing what's happening. So the song profile is going to create a certain atmosphere because of how the song's constructed. If it's building at the end, then you are like, you should be able to look at the song and anticipate the atmosphere should be quite strong here. Okay. Just because of how the song's constructed. But the congregational response, it can vary from Sunday to Sunday, even with a given song. I mean, how many of you, you know, you've tried leading and it's like you're walking through treacle.
Sometimes I sing it and
they're
like, oh.
Yeah. Now you can encourage people, but the challenge is you can't drive them to worship or to engage, you know, but certainly we can pray and we can encourage, but it is, our job is to make it as easy as possible for them to engage, but it is up to them. Do you know what I mean? And it's really important that we understand it's more their worship time than it is ours as a worship team. So it's the question is, what is most helpful to them as we are able to understand it on any given Sunday? So the Holy Spirit's activity is down to obviously our ability to sense what he's doing. All right. And that is going to vary from member to member within the team as well. And the worship leader is not the only person who can hear from God or sense what the Holy Spirit is doing. So that requires then that we try as much as we can to create the culture where the contribution of any member of the team is valued and able to be facilitated. Now that's easier said than done. But that's hopefully what we're aiming for. Now, some thoughts just on this declaration. Why is it so powerful? I think you put it really nicely at the beginning, Sophie. Would you like to repeat that? No. when you were talking about, you can get into aspects where you can sense something in the atmosphere. And obviously even how we sense is going to vary from person to person, because some people see things, some people hear God speaking, others feel things, others just know, you know, intuitively. So there's no formula for saying how we're to do that. So that's why it's really important that we value and recognize the strengths of each of the members of the team, because we're going to hear differently. But the whole point of declaration, say for example, we're singing, your name is power. Okay. Or I speak Jesus. Now, ideally in terms of prophetic revelation, one of the golden rules, so to speak, even when you're receiving a prophetic word, is go from general to specific. So in other words, ideally, if you're singing about, like your name is power, or, you know, he breaks every chain, a prophetic worshiper will be asking, which chain, Lord? Or do you know what I mean? Give me more detail. What is it? Or if we're singing, how great is our God? God, what aspect of your greatness are you wanting to reveal to us? So when we pick up on something, supposing the aspect of his greatness that is impressed upon your heart, whether you're the worship leader or not, but supposing you are, because you're in an ideal facilitating position if you are, that God puts the lonely in families and he's really wanting to break isolation that's hampering people. You may be the only person that is actively sensing that in the whole congregation at that point in time. But God is showing you because of your position, not because you're more spiritual than anyone else or whatever, but because you're in a facilitating role. So there are several ways you can respond to what you're sensing. One is, oh, thank you, Lord. That's really nice to know. But the chances are he's not just telling you for you. He may be, but not necessarily so, given your role in that moment of time. What is really powerful is when a worship leader is able to sense something that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do and then give expression to it. The declaration of, I have a sense of God is really wanting to just break the power of isolation over several of us. And it's not as though anything's wrong with us. It's just the enemy loves to see people siphoned off. But God puts the solitary in families, and you're part of a family this morning. Now, whatever song it is you've been singing, but if you come back and you encourage the people, as we sing this again, folks, let's sing this as a declaration. We are not going to just stand and submit to that feeling of isolation, regardless of what our emotions are at this point in time, or however you want to work that. But you declare that. So what are you doing? You're giving people awareness that this is what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. Now, it may not be, and probably isn't, the only thing he's wanting to do, but it's something that we have, that's come into focus for us as a worship team. So what happens is you declare that into the atmosphere, and if something crystallizes in the atmosphere, it's like, wow, we've got focus. We know where we're going at this particular point in the moment. The next time they go through that chorus, I guarantee you there's going to be an increase in the atmosphere and the intensity. Why? Because people aren't just singing the song now, they're using the song. They're releasing words of declaration. Why? Because a declaration of this is what we sense God is doing, is wanting to do right now, is so powerful, because it just, now it's possible that you could be way off course, but it's unlikely given the nature of the role that you're in and your sensitive heart, and you're saying, God, show me, you know. Any thoughts or comments? Because this is a really, really, it's a key aspect that can absolutely change the atmosphere or strengthen it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really good because it's like, I mean, unity in general, all throughout scripture, there's unity. There's power with that.
Yeah.
And so I think, when you sense something in the spirit and you do manage to kind of give expression to that, like you're saying, so that kind of brings the congregation on board with that too.
Absolutely.
And when you're all kind of doing that together and declaring something or whatever together, then that, you know, you do notice that.
Very powerful. Yeah. And it can be powerful strong or powerful soft and gentle, you know, just whatever God's wanting to do in the time. And then the challenge is, how long do we keep going in this direction, you know? So. Yeah. Any other thoughts or comments? Because I'm not the only one with, you know, with thoughts on these things. You are seasoned worship leaders. So input.
I think it's that whole thing when somebody does that, it brings revelation to what is happening, and so that, like, as a congregation, it gives you understanding, and then you're sitting and understanding together.
Absolutely.
With a different perspective or whatever is Holy Spirit doing in that moment. Suddenly,
it's like you're targeting something, eh?
Targeting something, but everybody's focus goes there to the same. Like,
mm-hmm.
So that's
very powerful. Powerful. A brilliant analogy of that is the difference between diffused light and laser light. Because diffused light is what we've got in this room now. Within a given frequency range, it's beating at all sorts of different frequencies. It's a softer, pervasive light. Now, what I'm about to say is definitely an oversimplification, but somehow if we could get these light waves and synchronize them so that all they were all beating at the same frequency, we would have what is known as laser. Now, laser gets its power from the unity of its light waves. They're all saying the same thing. And there are times when the Lord wants us to use laser declaration and laser releasing with, I mean, you get a whole congregation who understand their kings and priests, who understand they're not just here for a sing-along. They're here to do business in the spirit and they release that declaration with intent. It just carves through those blankets of oppression and isolation or whatever may be the case, you know, that he's targeting. It's very, very powerful.
I think I have to remind myself of that thing as well, because it's spirit-filled church, but I think it's also helpful to remember that not everybody is either baptized in the Holy Spirit, sees things to the same degree, and
yep.
So being able to communicate what's happening allows those people who might not sense those things.
Brilliant. Gives them understanding. Absolutely. Yeah. Good call.
I remind myself that because,
yeah.
I mean, even just having conversations with people around, they just don't, even visions and stuff like that are not things that they get. You ask them to picture an elephant and they see the word rather than a picture. And so for those kinds of people who are more, I guess, practical rather than visual or that kind of way focused,
yeah.
It helps bring those people on as well.
Very good.
And going back to what you're saying, Rob, like if we are to, our role is to make it as easy as possible for people to encounter the Lord, engage with them in worship, the communication really helps that.
Oh, absolutely.
Understanding the why behind what I'm doing in those moments is really helpful, isn't it? Especially like what you're saying. So for some people that don't necessarily understand what is happening in that moment, or just
So when it comes to compiling our song set, we have an interesting scenario. Supposing we've got three songs here. One of the things that I want to be able to do is to look at my first song and ask these two questions. What do I anticipate the atmosphere to be at the end of the song? In the first song, yes, you're quite correct. But shall we transfer that to the set of several consecutive songs? So now I want to tell you, this is not instinctive, at least it wasn't for me. This way of approaching, creating my song list or set. But by being aware of the song profile, I should be able to, I can't tell what the congregation's response is going to be, but from the song profile, I should have some idea in terms of what I expect the atmosphere to be generally by the end of the song. And that will also be determined by my exit point from the song, because we can have different exit points as we can have different entry points into a song. And if the profile is softer in one part of the song and stronger in another, where I exit from will determine the atmosphere at the end of the song. But also being able to give an indication or have an understanding of where's the focus of people's attention, number one and two, which is, number one is, what question are we asking? Who are we speaking to? Yep. And two, who's it about? Great. Because the answer to that question won't necessarily tell me what song should come next, but can give me a good idea in terms of what kind of song should come next or could come next. Now, let's use an example of a young married couple, both working, couple of kids. Life is busy, to say the least. And they're just aware that they've been like ships passing in the night in the last few weeks, and it's just, wow, we just need some catch-up time. So they say Thursday night, the kids are in bed, we're just not doing anything else, going to grab a coffee and just share our hearts together. So they do that. Kids are in bed. They've been talking for about 10 minutes, and there's a knock on the door. It's their neighbor wanting to know if you've seen their cat. So they deal with that thingamy and then come back to the conversation. About 5 minutes into that, the phone rings and it's someone wanting them to change the electricity company. So they deal with that and then they get another interruption. What is not able to develop in that scenario? Yeah, the level of connection and intimacy. Okay. What prevents it is the change of focus. Yeah. All right. So continuity of focus does not cause intimacy to develop or an atmosphere to build, but it allows it to. Because we're not manipulating people, but when you as a worship leader choose your song set so that at a certain point in the journey, depending on how long the journey is, you know your goal is really to facilitate that point of connection. And once you're getting close to that, in terms of what you anticipate, in terms of making it as easy as possible, you do not want to draw them out of that too quickly. Because otherwise it's not being helpful to them. So that's why the understanding of where is the focus, because for years, I don't know how many years I've been worship leading, but a number of years. And I was worship leading and I'd love the song and I'd go into it and then all of a sudden the atmosphere would just go dead and I think, you bunch of rebellion. Worship! Worship! And I had no idea that I'd just taken them from a direct worship song into a song where we were speaking to one another. And I just pulled the attention from vertical to horizontal, hadn't a clue, but the atmosphere changed. I did become aware of that. I just didn't know why. And so it's really, really important. Now, the Holy Spirit is absolutely able to work outside the boundaries of these principles. But honestly, over 40 years of worship ministry, I've not personally known him for this not to be a key factor in being able to build an atmosphere with understanding, not just intellectualism, but knowing the tools of your trade so that you can create the atmosphere and then you're absolutely dependent on the other things, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, your promptings, all those other things. Plus, when you have a prophetic church, you've got all that to factor in. Yeah. Someone comes up with a prophetic word and do we follow that? Do we go, do you know what I mean? You've got all sorts of decisions to make. So, and then you're asking the same question at the end of the second song. But at a certain point, I know I don't want to pull people out of one-on-one. And so supposing you've got 25 minutes allocated for sung worship in your thinking. Now, of course, we can go way longer than that at Living Waters. But supposing or you're invited as a ministry worship leader, you're going into a situation that's not your own. If you have got, and I often think of, like in a broad thing, 5 minutes a song, that's, it can be way off if something really happens within one song and we could just stay on it for ages. But I mean, if I'm planning my list, I'm generally thinking maybe, so in a 25 minute, I want at least 5 songs. And 4 of my songs are declaration, celebration, testimony, request for renewal and stuff like that. And my 5th song is my direct worship song. It's almost like having a 90-mile journey with an 80-mile runway. It's like I've almost completed the distance. I haven't got off the ground yet. Why? It's because it's not that these are badly written songs. It's just my question, because if I'm responsible to serve my congregation well, I want to know, and it's not a case of rushing, because people are all at different stages in terms of how much preparation they need to really engage. But how soon can I get them to that place of engagement and how long can I keep them there? Those are 2 really good questions. And the shorter the time period you have for sung worship, the more critical is your choice. The easiest times I have found to lead worship are camps, conferences, seminars. Why is that?
Because everybody's like, they're like, it's different to church because it's something extra that they're coming to and there's already like a set expectation on everybody.
Yeah.
That they're coming with a preset expectation that God's going to do.
Yeah.
And when everybody comes already dead set on that, it's just like you enter in just like that.
There's a level of expectation, isn't there?
Yeah.
And the other thing is if you've got a conference that's, you know, several days, you've already built, you know what I mean? You've built that atmosphere. Now, normally I would not suggest people going into free praise on your first song. But honestly, if you're in a conference, you could. They're right there. Why? And it's because in serving them well, they don't need that extra preparation. They're already in that zone. We can just go straight into the heavenly. So you can utilize more of your worship set just direct on, or however you feel, you know, the Lord's wanting to lead you. And it would be absolutely ridiculous to say that we should be aiming for the same thing every Sunday, like, you know, just soft worship, I love you, Lord. Because sometimes the Lord just knows, man, my kids just need a good laugh, clean out the system, you know, and it could be celebration, the whole thing, and not a direct worship song in sight. So have I blown it? Not if I'm listening to Holy Spirit. Is what does he want for his kids on this particular time? What aspect of the Godhead is he wanting to unveil to us and allow us to experience an encounter with him? So with that in mind, what do I do if one of my songs is that? How do I tell what the atmosphere is going to be? Because I don't know what the congregational response is going to be.
Have plan A and plan B.
You're absolutely right. You're right. Sophie, jackpot, hole in one. You know, no, seriously. I often will have a plan A and plan B. And because I'm not sure, I have learned through bitter experience that when I try and shoehorn an atmosphere because this is what I've planned and this is where we're going, come hell or high water, you know. It is rather tragic. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So to have an A and a B song. And so I'm covering my bases because I actually don't know what the atmosphere is going to be, how it's, and I want to serve the congregation with what's in their heart and their response to the Holy Spirit rather than just say, well, this is where we're going. You follow or sit out, you know? Yeah. So that is what I have found to be extremely helpful. And there's different terms for it, whether you call them back pocket songs or possibles and probables and. Oh, brilliant. That's a new one on me. Sleevers. Okay. Yeah. But they're songs that you may use, but you don't necessarily know, and you won't know until you're in the moment whether that's where you intend to go. But it's actually far better. It realistically, it is more work for the worship team. Exactly. Yeah. But you are covering your bases a lot more effectively and you're building in flexibility to be able to go. Yeah.
Multi in terms of your options.
Well, it's quite common to have a list longer than you know you're going to need.
I'll virtually always have more songs than I know I'm going to use. Yeah.
Yeah, when you don't have enough. And the guest speaker goes, oh, what have you got next?
Oh, that's horrible. You want to sing through the floor.
You're a bit tired and all you can hear is,
Yeah, like Mike Connell. Celebration. Okay, so sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. This will be by way, I'm sure none of this will be new, but let's just cover it briefly. In preparation, just be aware of songs that you are drawn to during the week. Maybe a lot of people say to me, oh, I woke up with a song on my heart. I never had that happen. It's crazy. I just never do. It's just, I don't know why. You might not enlighten me somehow, but anyway, different aspects of his character that you are finding yourself meditating on. And it's really important to ask the question of him, Lord, is this just for me? Because you're on your own personal journey, or is this more than just for me? Is this something that you're wanting us to be aware of, you know, to factor in next Sunday's worship time? Specific things that he wants to do. He may just impress upon you, I want to break hopelessness on Sunday, you know, or whatever. Or I just want people to nestle in daddy's arms. I mean, it could be anything that you just have a sense of, I'm not sure where this is going to fit, what it's going to look like, but this is what's percolating in my spirit. Okay, in rehearsal, just be aware of songs that have a presence. And that doesn't mean that that's the only song that you do on Sunday, but it may give you a bit of a heads up that you may camp there longer than if you just did the original rendition of it. Do you know what I mean? You may just spend some time and just work it if there's something in that song that the Holy Spirit is just wanting to ride on. In the worship time itself, phrases that are highlighted to you. In the song, you know, you're singing the song along with everybody else, but then just, yeah, I know what you sense, whether it's just a bit of a lift in your spirit or something like that. Do we go back on that? Do we, you know, speak about it? And, you know, those are questions you ask the Lord, impressions that you receive. Okay. We need to not just take them lightly in the sense of, oh, that's just me. Ask for more detail from general to specific. We mentioned that, and just ask questions as to what he wants to do. So those are some things that I've found helpful in terms of Holy Spirit sensitivity. And you guys may well have some others that you want to add to that, because you've all had experience in how Holy Spirit speaks to you or prepares stuff for you as well.
Uber delivery, right?
What's that? Uber delivery, yes.
On that, because just go this way, it's your package.
So what I have found helpful, both for myself, but more in the years of training worship leaders with this understanding, the most helpful part of this is actually not what we've just gone through, but what we're going to do in a few minutes, is actually the talking through, what do I anticipate, what do I expect, what can I see is likely to happen or could possibly happen, you know, with the set in there. And often, worship leader in preparing the set would just, because I was in a training role, not because I was Joe Blow in the congregation, but, they would ring me the night before they, you know, had their practice or whatever, and just talk through their list using me as a sounding board. Because it just does take a while to get used to thinking in this way. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give you the song list. And just for the next few minutes, I'm just going to, can you pass out some paper and some pens? Yep. So what, there's 9 songs there. And what I want you to do is to write those songs down on your piece of paper. Okay. So it's important for me to say there is no right or wrong in this. Okay. I mean, there's multitudes of combinations that you could have any of these songs. So what I want you to do, there's 9 there. I want you to, when you've written those titles down, work out what your number one song is going to be and just write 1 to the left of that song title. And then I'll have that one as number 2, that is number 3. And then, so I'm not wanting you to use all 9. So basically, of the 9, say pick 5. And you could have maybe a couple of, what do you call them? Sleeves? Sleevers songs. Yeah. And then we'll just have some feedback and anyone can just start off and we'll talk through your list. I have the song words here on my iPad. So if you have forgotten what the words of a particular song is, just call out and I'll give you a. Nothing else is, I'm caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. That one. Does it ring a bell? So we'll take, say, 10 minutes. I mean, it is a, you'd use a lot more than 10 minutes putting your set together. I know, but it's just an exercise where we get the hang of what things to look out for.
Rest on us. High praise. Nothing else. How great is our God? Holy forever. You are holy.
That's the chorus.
Worthy of all. Yeah, I believe. Your name is power. Yeah.
I've deliberately mixed them up so that they're not necessarily the order that you would put them in a conventional set anyway, but. So how's everyone going with the sample list? Is it?
I'm trying to concentrate very hard.
Well, you can concentrate very hard, but I'm just going to need to, I'm going to need to borrow the iPad. Yeah, just for the sake of time, let's go, because we may only have maybe one or two get a chance just to go through the list, and then we'll, excuse me, pick up on, oh, this is another one of those. Okay, who wants to start off? I'll basically interview you and get you to talk me through what you feel in terms of atmosphere at the end of the song, stuff like that, and focus and stuff. You want to go, Sophie? Okay, what have you got for number one?
I believe.
Awesome.
Yep. Next one.
High praise,
yep.
And then your name is power.
Yep.
And then holy breath.
Yep.
And then ready to go.
Okay. So talk me through, what sort of atmosphere would you anticipate at the end of I Believe?
Notices.
No, this is not the first song in the service. This is the first song in the set.
Oh, no.
Did you plan for that to be notices following that?
I'm just about to put high praise first, but the reason I didn't do that is because high praise often can be, it sometimes can go off and you can kind of keep going on like the bridge parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I Believe it's kind of like a set song.
Yep.
And it's like I like doing that one at the start of the set because it's very, just kind of gets everybody on the same page of like, this is what we believe. Let's come together and think in the same thing.
Yep. So what sort of atmosphere would you anticipate at the end of it?
The police.
Spoken like a true prophet. Well, historically, when we are not used to describing atmosphere, but I mean, you can have a vibrant, strong atmosphere. You can have a soft, gentle atmosphere.
Okay.
You can have a celebratory atmosphere. You can have a militant atmosphere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, as a sample,
I would probably say I Believe would finish on probably.
Yeah.
So
what sort of lyrical image, I mean, if you think about the profile of the song, what sort of lyrical imagery have you got, especially, would your end point or your exit point be the chorus? That's where you'd normally finish the song?
Yeah, I feel like it's just finishing like right up there, it's like,
okay, so why is it finishing up there?
Because the normal just goes up.
And what else have you got?
Called
terrific. Exactly, he's nailed it. He's a Led Zeppelin the second. No, you've... Yeah, but you've got strong lyrical imagery. And that's creating the profile of the song. And you're absolutely right, but I'm interested in teasing out why you think that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got notice. Sorry, you're going to say?
Sometimes you can intuitively just like, oh, you'd be strong, but then knowing why can help you when you're not feeling the intuition.
Yeah. Now, you may have the congregation climb on board to an excessive degree that even greater than you expected. It may be less than you expected, but that's not going to alter the profile of the song. The profile of the song itself will create a certain atmosphere. Yeah. Okay, so then you had notices next?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So what's your next one? High praise. Okay. What sort of atmosphere have you got at the end?
It's a
strong, battery's about to go.
But the so I'd say that it's strong with turn all things. It goes up to a high melodic.
So where's your exit point? Is it the chorus?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You got pretty strong melodic imagery there, haven't you? Give them high praise. I mean, even the title of the song is a bit of a giveaway. Okay, so talk to me about focus. Focus one and two.
So we're talking to each other.
Okay.
Talking about them.
Yes. What kind of song is it, do you think?
Celebration.
Yes, as well in terms of as well as?
Celebration.
Yes. Yeah. It's very much a call to worship, isn't it? Okay. So here's an interesting thing. Where you have a song which is exhorting, I think it's reasonably important that you follow through with a song that enables them to do what they've been encouraging Allah to do. So, in this, give him high praise. We're saying, come on, you know, give him high praise. Okay. So it's really important to follow because the atmosphere will naturally build if there's continuity. If there's continuity there, it's not that you can't have any change of direction. Where continuity is supremely important, I think, is approaching that intimacy connection, you know, one on one. There. A song of declaration doesn't necessarily facilitate that, and that's perfectly okay. Do you know what I mean? So we are speaking to one another. So we're aware that there's a exhortation, which is, and the nature of exhortation is, I mean, generally you don't exhort God. I mean, that you're exhorting each other. I guess you could, but in the main, it's going to be a horizontal focus. Brilliant. Okay. So your next song is?
Your name is power. So the focus is we're talking both.
Oh, let's have a look. You're the only answer to the darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. Yep.
It's to God.
Yes.
So we're talking to God about God.
Yep.
So
we're making a declaration to him about himself. Yeah.
It's strong. Lyrical imagery.
Yeah. So your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken. Your name is faithful. Mighty, it won't let us down if our list. Your name is power. Your name is power.
And you finish on, like, your name is power. But then I've gone into Holy Forever.
Okay. So, all right. So let's talk about this because it's fine to recognize a change in atmosphere. Yeah. The thing that you're then evaluating is that what I want or is that what I feel we need? Mm-hmm. And if you come to the conclusion, not so sure about that, that's when you make your change.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point of you don't have to get it right first time. You know what I mean? But it's having the skills and the tools to be able to look through and anticipate. There are certain things you can't anticipate, like the things you have no control over. But it's being able to recognize the things you can recognize, you know, that you do have control over and anticipating to the best of your ability where it's likely to track, especially in terms of the focus of people's hearts. That's a key thing.
If you are feeling okay with the shift, it's probably those sorts of situations where, correct me if anybody has anything to say, but where communication will probably be almost kind of transition, and so that it's not this like awkward, oh, we've just done a really fast song now, it's like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But to be able to communicate that and go, this is why, this is what we're going to do now, it's like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it's, if you have a sudden, unexpected change of atmosphere, it's like trying to take a right angle corner at 70 Ks. You know, you've got people scrambling out of the bushes thinking, oh, they're going this way now, you know, because they're not expecting that. So helpful leadership provides that transition so that absolutely you can facilitate a change of direction, but it's smooth, not sudden and awkward and jarring. You know what I mean? So, what sort of atmosphere have we got at the end of Your Name is Power? It is. Okay. So let me ask you the question. Having exhorted the people to give him high praise, does Your Name is Power allow them to do that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not saying it doesn't, but that's a really important question you need to ask. If you're deliberately exhorting, you know, we're exhorting the congregation, let's give him high praise. Okay. It doesn't start that way. You're the answer to the darkness. Okay. In other words, but it actually starts to build. Then Your Name is Power and it gets there. Okay. Are you comfortable? I mean, in this theoretical example, are you comfortable with the focus in on his power? At this point in the worship set, in the journey, in terms of what's coming next?
I think, yes.
Cool. In fact, what is coming next? Oh, holy forever. 1,000 generations falling down in worship. Right, yep.
I mean, it does change shift with the atmosphere a little bit, but in terms of, I guess, some kind of the lyrical imagery a little bit, is holy forever, is
okay.
Is that declaration? Holy forever.
It is a declaration. It's definitely a declaration of, you know, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Can I ask you a question? Where did you anticipate starting the song? What was your anticipated starting point?
I usually start in the verse, but pre-chorus, because it would be better.
Well, I'm wondering, given that you've just finished with Your Name is Power, and then if you were to start in the pre-chorus, Your Name is the highest, Your Name is the greatest, Your Name stands above them all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got a degree of continuity there that could well build on the atmosphere. You could come back to the 1,000 generations. It's just a question of what you want your transition to be. You're going to make a comment, Sue.
Oh, I was just wondering if it would be smoother, especially if you started each song from Your Name is Power, then Hot Praise.
Changing the order of service could be. I'd have to look at the.
But then that's where we're talking about where High Praise is the call to worship.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you do the High Praise, sorry, the Your Name is Power first, you're talking to God about God and then coming back and saying, come to worship. So that's where it probably.
Yeah. You can go from vertical to horizontal, but the question that you're wise to ask yourself is, in the worship journey, when is that not going to be helpful? Because the degree of connectedness, if the degree of that you're sensing, the connectedness, the one-on-one is really happening with people, and I know that's subjective and how do you define that, but to the degree that you can, that's when I would say keep the continuity of focus there, because that will help them. It won't help them to come down at that stage. Earlier in the journey, I wouldn't imagine it's going to be a problem too much, because that continuity isn't quite so critical. But in that approaching the connectedness, you know, that real high level engagement, that's when it, I think personally, is pretty critical. Yeah.
So So question then, if you are feeling for a Sunday morning that there is like some things that God wants to almost kind of target a little bit.
Yep.
Do you, would any of you guys see any benefit in going horizontal to then come back vertical and then come back to horizontal to almost like draw everybody's attention, get us there, really focus on God, and then declaring stuff? Or would you do all of the, like, if there was any declaration stuff that you felt Holy Spirit wanted to do?
Honestly, that's a...
declaration and then go up. Or would you do vertical and then horizontal for declaration and then go back?
It's a really difficult question to answer because I think it could work. Honestly, it really would, depending on what Holy Spirit is saying to you, you know, just in terms of where he's wanting to track.
Yeah, that's for him, and that's as well as the tempo of the songs. You know, as sometimes the vertical or the direct worship songs can be slower in tempo.
Them often are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then if you're playing at the beginning, you're going really fast on, and that can break up that continuity as well. And then other things, you can have some really good songs that lyrically put at the beginning, but the tempo, like you know, is power. The tempo is quite a lot slower than
yes, it is.
Praise, like,
yeah.
It can then mess up the continuity as well.
Yeah, so you're really taking all those things into account.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of things that you learn, you actually learn by experimentation. Yeah. You just trial and error. Let's try this out and see if it flies. You know?
A lot of just theoretical sort of deciding which order until you actually sit down and play them in some freedom.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a part of deciding. Yeah. Yeah, so you were going to say something, or you had another question?
Oh, no, just ones like, different songs like Break Every Chain.
Okay.
You can start really melodically, and tempo doesn't have to be fast, but there's space to build it and bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be multiplied, I think, that one. Where it doesn't have to be some full noise, but there's strength in the way that you sing it.
The lyrical imagery is pretty strong.
It is strong, but I think you don't need to have all your instruments going, bring you every chain. Like, it gets there, but it doesn't have to start there. Just bring you every chain.
No, there's a certain strength that is inherent within the lyrical imagery that you can't avoid, because that's how the song's constructed, and that's what it's designed to do something, you know, to take it somewhere. But how you treat it musically can give you extra variance in terms of the level of intensity of atmosphere. Brilliant. So, yeah, so that brings out an interesting point, though. There often can be multiple starting points as well as multiple exit points from a song, and just explore the difference and use them. You don't, and we all know this, but it's worth stating again, you don't have to use the whole song. Yeah. Use the part of the song which takes you where you feel you need to go in that journey. If it's the whole song, brilliant. If it's part of the song, stick with the part of the song that serves you, you know. Did you have any thoughts in terms of atmosphere at the end of Holy Forever? Okay.
Sometimes I finish it soft, sometimes you can finish it strong. But sometimes I'll end up going to like a downforce or pulling it back.
Okay.
And then starting my next
one. So what if your plan is to do a down chorus and you find the jolly thing is starting to take off?
Just keep going.
Okay, so what do you do then? Yeah, you ride it, but then what?
Back to the chorus, and then I don't know, I generally, that's when I like am very hyper aware. I'm like, watch all the other kind of prophets in the room and just like be ultra sensitive that direction. But then sometimes if you just sit on it for a little bit longer, it does end up coming down again. But then, I don't know.
It can do, but I mean that's a classic example of, you know, that you could you could bring it a downfield, in other words, bring it in for a landing. But if you find it, this thing's got a life of its own, that's where you need your plan A, plan B songs.
Actually,
and if you can anticipate that that's happening.
Yeah. If they're in the same key, you can just go straight into where you
are. Mm-hmm. And if they're not?
If they're not in the same key.
Mm-hmm. But then you, those are the sort of things that you anticipate when you're going through the list.
Yeah.
They're going through your mind, the possibilities. And if you think, wow, we could just go straight into the next song, but it's not in the same key, then work with your musos on a bridging chord. That is going to enable you to have a smooth transition, and people know ahead of time what it is. They've rehearsed it to some degree, so that they're not completely caught flat-footed, you know. Hey, brilliant, guys. We will bring it in for a landing. It's the thing we're talking about that now, just for time's sake. But next Sunday, we'll pick it up. We'll do some more of this, but we'll also add some other things in. Want to talk a bit about the free praise dynamic as well, where you would, you know, put that in. But also, if you've got any other questions, I'm not the only one. I don't have all the answers, but I'm sure it could be a very good bounce around session, you know, to talk if anything occurs to you during the week between now and then. Let's kick it off and have some fun together.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pleasure. Can't believe you want to just do the official, yeah.
Thank you so much for the opportunity for us to come together and to give Rob, and just want to honour him right now for the effort he's put in. So just thank you for your gift, Rob. And thank you. That if there's anything that you want to ask us further in, but bring it to us during the week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.